All right, take your Bible, if you would, back over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. This evening, just going to read one short message, or one short verse, I mean, Hebrews chapter 10. Hey, we weren't too far after noon today. Probably wouldn't have been that long, but I felt like I had to say more going into the message or ahead of time, the announcements, or try to cut that a little bit shorter tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, going to read one very, very familiar verse just to get us rolling tonight. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You believe tonight that the day is approaching?
Amen.
The days that are evil are approaching. The day of the Lord's return is approaching. And according to this, this assembling together is not going to become less important, but more important.
Amen.
I want to talk for a few moments tonight about this. Christ never did anything that was non-essential. He never did anything non-essential. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's help tonight as we look into the message. Brother Pelequin, why don't you leave some prayer, if you would. Amen. Thanks for standing. I've said this several times during the broadcast that we were doing, and I think I even said it this morning, that I'm thankful for the technology that we possess today. Now, some of it's not so good. Well, technology is amoral, isn't it? It's used for evil. But I'm thankful for the fact that it can be used for good, especially when we can use it in the service of the Lord. Nothing wrong with that, when we can use it for God's glory, when we can use it for the preaching of His Word. So I'm thankful for that. And it's been a blessing over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, however long it's been, 6, 7 months, however long this has been going on, 6, 7 years. Don't you love the year 2020 so far? Isn't this been a tremendous year up to this point? Of course, it's just life, I guess. But it's been a blessing over the last however many weeks when we haven't been able to meet for safety reasons, and we've been able to broadcast messages, and we've been able to get devotions out and the children's devotions and other things, and we're working on until Sunday school is able to start back up here. And again, in a few weeks, we're going to try to get a few Sunday school lessons out from some of the Sunday school teachers as well over the next few weeks. So we're not quite done there yet, but praise the Lord for the ability to be able to do that. And of course, it's not just for that. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing to listen to sermons online anytime. I mean, it's handy. You can get access to messages and access to information and sermons. And it just, as long as we're very careful what we listen to. You know, we're not a cult. I'm not telling you to listen to never listen to anybody but me. That's not what I'm saying. But you know as well as I do, there's some very subtle error out there. There's some error that's just glaring. You just listen and go, this guy is a nut. There's no use in listening to him. And then some of it is kind of subtle. I mean, there's some stuff that looks good and sounds good on the surface. And if you're not very, very well versed in your Bible, you can certainly miss things that are there because, again, the error can be so subtle, which can lead to big trouble down the road. And so we certainly got to be careful what we listen to. Now, I said this a couple times during the broadcast, and let me say it one more time just so I can say it. That is, and this is for free, not just for sermons, but we ought to always be careful what we listen to online, what we listen to over the internet, what we listen to on YouTube and other places where people pick things up. And I'm all for being informed, but we shouldn't listen to junk online, and we shouldn't listen to stuff online that does nothing but stirs up fear and anxiety and conspiracy and stirs up our emotions. I don't know what it is about Christians. But it seems like when it comes to Christians, there seems like there are so many so-called Christian sites and Christian people and Christian social media outlets that are dedicated to every conspiracy and every crazy notion under the sun. I don't know what it is about God's people that we seem to attract that stuff or seem to be fascinated by it, but it seems like they're just everywhere, and they're so easy to get caught up in, and they stir us up, do they not, and stir up our emotions. You know, we worry all the time about what our kids watch on the internet, or you should if you have any sense about what your kids look at and listen to on the internet. And it wouldn't hurt some of us adults to monitor what we will look at on the internet. I'm not talking about filthy stuff. I'm talking about just being careful about what we watch and what we listen to and what we give our ear to and our attention to, you know, and we need to be sure that we, you know, keep in mind that we need to listen to a certain kind of stuff and to keep ourselves in that which stirs us up and gets us all worked up and afraid and angry. You know, we ought to let Philippians 4:8 be our content filter. You know, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. That should be the type of stuff that we listen to all the time, you know, and so we don't constantly, you know, in the interest of a sound mind, listen to that which promotes, you know, that which is which promotes the peace that God intends us to have. Sure, we got to be informed. Listen, just watching the news is enough by itself. I don't need some guy on there stirring me up on top of that. Listen to that which is good and just and pure, that which is encourages us. If you're going to listen to anything, listen to that kind of stuff online. But so there's plenty of opportunity there to hear things, and some of it's good, some of it's not so good. But whether it's a sermon or some Bible preacher or teacher or self-proclaimed investigator, you know, listen to that which promotes a sound mind, sound emotions, the peace that God desires us to have and wants us to have. So it's good, but we need to be careful with that. Like anything, we need to be careful with that which we have access to. But it's true that technology can be a help when we can't get to church for reasons beyond our control. As a means of access to additional opportunities, you know, to hear preaching and to hear the Word of God. You know, as I said, it's sure been a help during this COVID situation, during the plague, you know, that we've been enduring. It's been great for that. Just think, if this had happened even just 10 years ago, we wouldn't have had any ability, really, to do what we've done as far as access. And, you know, we used to be one of the few churches that broadcast. Now everybody's in the broadcasting business. If nothing else, maybe that's a good thing that's come out of this. But it would have been different had it just been 10 years ago. So I think we ought to thank the Lord for that and be thankful that we have the ability. Here at our church, we ought to praise the Lord for people's giving and the finances, that we've been able to do what we've been able to do. I'm very happy with the way our broadcast looks, you know, with the high definition, the cameras we've got, all that we're able to do. I think it ought to look good if it's God's stuff. Amen. And so God's given us the ability and the wherewithal, and the men who run the sound booth and Brother Sam, and the knowledge to put all that together. I sure don't put it all together. I'm just a plug and play guy. Plug it in and it ought to play. And Brother Sam takes care of all that. I come up with the big ideas. He just has to make them all work and find the technology to make it happen. And so I'm very thankful for that. And so while it is a good thing, I think we would all agree tonight also that on the other hand, there's a danger even in the right use of technology when it comes to broadcasting sermons or when it comes to putting preaching online or Bible teaching online. There's also a danger there. And that danger is the tendency of some to sit at home and listen online rather than physically and faithfully attending and committing to a good, solid local church. You know, and I'm thankful for everybody that listens online here, and if there's people listening tonight who are listening online and you're doing that in substitution of being committed to and faithfully attending a local church, you're wrong. Man, turn off the TV and get to church. Turn off the computer and get to church, because that's where you really need to be. And we're thankful for anybody who listens outside their normal church attendance, but we ought to be in the house of God. And one of the problems with the right use of technology is the tendency of so many to sit at home when they ought to be in church. There's a few reasons for that. One of them, I think, the most obvious is probably convenience. You know, the church culture that we're in today that I harp so much about has completely destroyed the sanctity of church services, so that now, you know, they tell people, you know, just don't worry about dressing up. Don't worry about approaching church any different than anything else. Just come like you're going to a picnic or to Walmart. And that's fine when you're lost. But when you get saved, you ought to have some sense of the sanctity of the local church and the sanctity of a church service. And so they've so destroyed that, and they've gone so far out of their way to make church convenient now, you know, that they've completely destroyed the sanctity of service. So why not just sit at home and have church in the ultimate convenience? I mean, just sit at home and watch it in your PJs. You know, they go to Walmart in their PJs. You might as well sit at home and watch. It's a wonder they don't come to church in their PJs. We haven't seen that yet. That's surprising. But it's the ultimate convenience, isn't it? Sit at home instead of having to get dressed up and come to church. Why dress up for God? You know, just sit at home and watch in your pajamas. Of course, the other reason people like to watch online is because of commitment, that ugly word that people don't like when it comes to the church, you know, to the local church. Why attend a church? Why make a commitment to a body of Christ? Why make a commitment to people and when you can sit at home and utter anonymity, you know, in the convenience of your home and watch and spy on church without actually having to be involved or be a part of anything? And I think the other reason is because of conflict. You know, one nice thing about sitting at home and watching church online is you don't have to mess with messy relationships. You know, you don't have to have relationships with people. You don't have to get along with people, except maybe your wife or your husband or whoever you're watching with. You don't have to get along with anybody. You can just sit at home in anonymity, watch TV, and have it your way. Have everything your way. And so there's other reasons we could probably say why it's popular to watch online rather than come to church. And, of course, the problem is, well, there's several problems, but one of the problems is that people don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand that meeting together in church not only has purpose, but it is absolutely essential. It is absolutely essential to the healthy spiritual life of a believer. And I believe this to the depth of my soul, that you cannot be a healthy believer without a good, solid local church and faithful attendance to it and commitment to it. You can be a believer. You can get saved outside of a church, but you can't have a healthy spiritual life. I've never yet met a healthy spiritual believer who operated as an independent operator outside the local church. I've never seen it. I've seen people who talk big and act like they know a lot, but I've never seen anybody who are sound doctrinally and have a healthy spiritual life outside the local church. Number one, you're supposed to attend church. It is the Lord's body. How can you be healthy apart from the Lord's body? And since Christ is its head, how can you be a healthy spiritual believer out from under your head operating outside his body? And so we can't be a healthy believer, and the local church is essential to that, to being a healthy believer, having a healthy spiritual life. The world doesn't get it, which I understand why the world doesn't get it. What's their response been to all of this COVID plague? Their response has been this: well, you can do what you do online. Can't you? No, we can't do what we do online. We can do a little portion of what we do, we can do online. Hard to baptize somebody online. Of course, some of the churches in our area had the Lord's Supper online. You can't do that, but they did. One church in the area, I don't know if you caught this or not, told people, go out and get you some Coke or crackers or whatever you can find, or potato chips, and we'll lead you in the Lord's Supper. That's heresy. And it's utter disrespect to the Lord's body and to the sacrifice which he gave. It is the very definition of what Paul said when he warned people of those who take the Lord's body in vain, or take the supper in vain without thought. And so, absolutely, we can't do everything that we do online. A lot of Christians don't get it, obviously. A lot of Christians don't get it. They don't get it because many of them have been internet surfing believers all along. So with the COVID thing, nothing's changed for them. They're sitting at home, taking advantage of the work and the labor and the giving of others rather than getting involved themselves. Because if you're just an internet believer watching other people's broadcast, you're just consuming what other people have sacrificed to provide and not giving anything back in return or being involved in return if that's all you're doing. Now, if you're listening to our broadcast or any broadcast and you're involved and plugged into your local church, that's fine. What about those who that's what they live on is internet church? You ought to be involved somewhere. There is probably somewhere out there spiritual enough that you could be involved with them. So get out and get involved. A lot of people don't attend church and watch the internet because they can't find a place spiritual enough. Well, the problem might not be them. It might be you. All right, so we absolutely need that. Some Christians don't get it, but there's a reason why the Lord established his church during his earthly ministry. There's a reason why God only established one organization during his earthly ministry, and that is his local church. God doesn't do anything that's non-essential. And I'm pretty confident that if Christ established his church and then told us to attend his church and to never forsake the assembling of his church, I'm assuming that means that God meant just exactly what he said. And that for some reason, Christ sees what we do here as essential to our spiritual life. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we come to church, we're going to leave thinking, man, that was life-changing. Man, every time I go to church, I come home and my life has been completely changed. Well, that's not going to be the case, is it? But as we come consistently and faithfully, we begin to understand why it's so essential. And Christ must have assumed that it was, or believed that it was, because he's the one who started all of this. And if Christ established it, made himself the head of it, and considers the church his body, then it must be essential in his mind. And it ought to be essential in our mind as well. This is the reason why the Lord established his church. And in very plain language in the text that we read said, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And then he said, as the end draws near, that assembling together, you know, we have the argument today that church is not important anymore. Well, I beg to differ, because the Bible says the church is not going to become less important, but according to Hebrews 10:25, it's going to become more important, if that's even possible. I would submit tonight it's not impossible for the church to become more important, because it's already essential. But Paul says, when you look at it in comparison to the time that we live in, the times are not going to make church less necessary or less essential. The times are going to make it more essential. And I would submit also tonight that we're entering into a time in American history where it's going to become more essential than it's ever been. And our assembling together is going to become more essential than it's ever been. Because I have a feeling that before long it's going to be us against the world at the rate we're going. Now, we haven't dealt with this much here in Missouri, but we've certainly seen in our country where the gloves have come off with the left, and the Democrat Party has thrown off all pretense of holding to any type of constitutional religious liberty. Amen. And we're getting ready to fight a battle. I'm not trying to be frightening about it, but we are getting ready to fight a battle. And if there's ever time when this is going to be essential, it's going to be now. And we better begin to see it as essential as well. Now again, I know man today considers the church to be non-essential, but Christ established it. He said, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and therefore it is essential, because he never does anything non-essential. So tonight what I want to do, just quickly, very simple message. I want you to see six reasons tonight why church services, assembling together as our manner is essential. I could add more. I could probably do 27 reasons why meeting together is essential, but I didn't think you'd want to stay that long. So we're going to do six reasons. We're going to do a series. We're going to do six reasons for the next year of why church, why church is essential. I could probably fill all that time, but I want you to just see six reasons tonight why church, assembling together as a church, is essential to a healthy spiritual life, and to a healthy spiritual believer. Now, we already know, I shouldn't even have to say this, but we know and understand tonight that you don't have to be in church to be saved, and that church has nothing to do with our salvation, other than the fact that most of us here tonight were probably saved in connection with the church. But church doesn't save us. We get that. We understand. I don't need to explain all that, do I? So I want you to see six reasons tonight why church service or assembling together is essential to a healthy spiritual life. The first one's going to sound very simple, but hear me out. First, number one, church is essential to a healthy spiritual life because we all need to hear the preaching of God's Word. Amen. We all need to hear the preaching of God's Word. Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but there's a reason why I say that. Colossians chapter 1. We all need to hear the preaching of God's Word. Colossians 1, look if you would in verse 18. Bear with me while we read a little bit. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. That should be enough right there. Amen. You want to know why church is essential? Because he is the head, and this church is his body. And he is the head, the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, in you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that ye have heard. Where did they hear that gospel at? Well, they heard it in the church at Colossae through the preaching, which ye have heard and which we preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and filled up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then verse 28, he says, whom we preach. Amen. Church is essential because we need to hear the preaching of God's word. And Paul here talks about how important the preaching of the word of God was to the church at Colossae. How through that preaching they were reconciled. How through that preaching they were they were brought into fellowship with the Jews and the Gentiles, and how through preaching it became a part of the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, how through preaching they experienced all of these things, how important preaching was to all of this. We know that through preaching of the Word of God is where faith comes. We know that. We saw that this morning. It's through preaching that hearing the Word of God is what brings faith into our life, and through the preaching of the Word of God. And so church is essential, and meeting together is essential, because we all need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You know, and this has implications for those who might be lost as well. You know, because where are the lost more apt to actually listen attentively to preaching? Where are the lost more apt to actually listen and engage in the preaching of the gospel of Christ than when sitting in a church service? You know, you can give people tapes. Boy, you need, man, this guy needs to get saved. And I've got this tape. It's a great tape. MP3, whatever we use today, 8-track, reel-to-reel, whatever it is. That's how I used to listen to sermons when I was a kid, on reel-to-reel. Believe that or not, big old reel. That's, I digress. Has nothing to do with anything. But you need to listen to this tape, man. This tape will help you know how to get saved. You know how often that works? Very rarely. You know where most people are apt to actually attentively listen and hear the gospel? It's in the preaching of the gospel in a church service that people are most likely to listen to. I don't know tonight. We won't take a survey, but if we were to, I have a feeling the vast majority of us in here tonight would say that it was through the preaching services or in the service of a church or in connection to a church service that I got saved. I might not have walked the aisle that night and got saved, but it was because of the messages I heard and preach in services. It was the preaching I heard sitting in a service. It was God moving on my heart in a service. It was the conviction God brought upon me in a service that moved me. And the reason why I got saved is because of what I heard sitting in church. And so we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And there's nowhere the lost are more apt to listen to and intentively engage in a gospel message than sitting in a church service. Now, I know there are always exceptions to so many things. And there are some people who heard a message and got saved and read a tract and got saved. Thank God for that. That's great, but the bulk of us, the majority of us, would have to admit that it is through the preaching of a church service that most people attentively listen to the gospel. So that's certainly true when it comes to the lost, that we need church services because it's here that the lost will listen and hear. But it's also true of all of us, isn't it? It's true of all of us. The place that we are most apt to attentively listen and get and engage in a sermon is sitting in a church service. Right. Where we have come for the specific purpose of doing that. That's where we are most likely to listen, most likely to hear. I listen to sermons in my car. I listen to sermons while I'm doing other things. I listen to sermons around the house from time to time. I listen to different things. I get tired of hearing myself, so I have to listen to other people. And so I listen to sermons. But you know, I find that when I'm listening in my car, I'm thinking about other things and my mind's wandering other places. And there's, I know I've heard things in sermons that have pricked my heart, but there is no place that God has convicted me in the midst of a sermon like He has through the years in a church service, where I came to sit for the only purpose I came was to listen to the preaching of God's Word and to attentively listen and hear. So it's true. And if I were to say tonight, what's one of the reasons why church service is essential for healthy spiritual life? I think we would all probably guess, because we need to hear the preaching of God's Word. But the point is that we hear it here like we do nowhere else. Here, when I say here, in a church like we do nowhere else. Because that's why we came. It's the purpose for which, why we're here. So that we can hear and listen and attentively. And there's no place that we listen to preaching like we do when we're in church. Preaching is always most effective, and we're most likely to listen attentively and to engage in a message when we're sitting alongside other people who came for the same purpose, who came to a place just for this reason. Have you noticed, and maybe you didn't, maybe you're so spiritual it never was a problem for you, but did you, had you, don't raise your hand, but had you began to notice, what, I can never figure out which word that is. Did you begin to notice listening online? Did you begin to experience any challenges listening online? You know, when you, I have a feeling, and I don't know, and I'm not trying to accuse people of things I have no knowledge of, but I have a feeling that for many of us, it may work like this. The first week, we were all fired up. Can't go to church, or we're going to listen. We're going to get dressed, and we're going to stand when they stand, and we're going to pray when they pray, and we're going to sing when they sing. And everybody's going to be quiet and shut up so we can listen. We're going to turn off the phone and nobody's getting up. We're going to be just like we're in church. Did it stay that way throughout? I'd say for many of us, and from the looks on some of your faces, the answer to that is no. You know why? Because there's no place to listen to preaching like when we're assembled together in God's house. Amen. And the place for which we came for that purpose. Amen. So, one of the reasons why church is essential to a healthy spiritual life is because we need to hear preaching. That might be, do you think, why Jesus said in Hebrews 10, or why God said in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as a manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because in the verse prior to that, we need to be provoked constantly unto good works and good habits and good spiritual habits in our life. So first of all, church is essential to a healthy spiritual life because we all need preaching. Secondly, church is essential to a healthy spiritual life not only because we all need to hear preaching in person in our church, but not only that, hearing preaching in person in your church from your pastor or from your Sunday school teacher is an experience that is unique to this place, to that message, to that moment. It's unique. It's why it's so important. It's what makes church service so much different than listening online. Because when we hear preaching in church, it's unique to that moment, to that teacher, to that crowd, to that time in my life, to that moment in my life. It's unique. You know, preaching the Word of God in church service is not just about the preacher and his preparation. You know, when my message bombs, it's not always because of me. Sometimes it is. There are some, I teach sometimes, there are some messages I think to myself, oh, I wish I sat out there so I could get up and leave. This is horrible. But it's not always because of me. Sometimes it's because of you. Because preaching isn't one person. Preaching is an interaction. It's an interaction between the preacher and the people and the Word of God and the work of the Spirit and the moment in history and the condition of the church and the place I am in my life at that single moment. And God works all that together to speak to us. That's what makes messages unique. It's interaction between the preacher. It's interaction between the people and how well they have prepared to hear and how well you have prepared to come and sit in Sunday school, whether you've gotten some sleep and are prepared and ready to hear, whether you've dealt with things in your life so that you can receive, whether the preacher or the teacher has prepared themselves. It's interaction between the church at that moment as a whole, where a church is at that moment in its history, where a church is in that moment spiritually, where the crowd is, the timing of all of it, how God sometimes just works the timing perfect and how God works it all out. You know, while every message isn't a life-changing experience, over time God has the ability in His house to bring all of that together to give a people in that church what they need at that moment. Both corporately, all of us together, and individually. Amen. Preaching and listening, it's not just preaching. We talk about preaching as a spiritual work. Listening is a spiritual work. Preaching and listening to preaching in God's house is a spiritual endeavor. And it's unique to all other things, both corporately and individually. This is why you can give someone, and I've mentioned this before, this is why you can give somebody a message to listen to that has changed your life. Man, you got to hear this. People are always times, don't take this wrong, I don't mean this negatively, but people, you know, give me stuff, listen to this. You got to listen to this. Man, this will just, and I'll listen to it. I think, well, that's, it's okay. I think I could have done, but it's okay. I'm just teasing. I've gotten all full of myself while there was nobody here. This is what happens when I have to look at people sleeping for like 6 weeks. I begin to think I'm really something. But at any rate, where was I? You keep getting me distracted. So when you know, I have people give me stuff to listen to. I think, boy, you got to listen to this. This is so good. And I'll listen to it. And I'm thankful for that. And it's not that I don't get anything from it. And sometimes it is a great blessing. And sometimes I think, well, it's okay. I don't know if there's anything amazing. I don't know that it changed my life like it did Brother Chad's. I don't know that that's true. But it did them. You know, and it's happened to me. I've sat in my own life. I've been in church services and revival meetings where God has spoken to my heart about something. And I think, boy, that was so amazing. God spoke to my heart. And I'll dig the tape out later and listen to it, or the whatever out later and listen to it. And I think, boy, it seems like I remember that being a lot better. I've got the message that was preached the night that I surrendered to preach some 40 some years ago, or however long that's been. I've got the message on tape. I have the first message I ever preached locked up in a safe, which you will never hear, but I have it. But I've got that message, and I think to myself, of course, that's obviously a meaningful thing for me, but when I listen to it now, I think, well, that's, I don't know why I surrendered. It's pretty good, but it's not that great. You know why it was so good then? Because it was in that service with those people in that church at that moment that made it unique. I've said that before about Jonathan Edwards, that sermon everybody talks about, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and how people were hiding under the pews and begging for him to stop preaching because they were under such conviction of sin. And if you've read that message, you read it, I think to myself, well, I'm not seeing it. It's not that great. It's because, you ever heard that saying, well, you had to be there.
Yeah.
Sometimes when it comes to these things, you had to be there for it to be unique. This is why somebody can give you a message. Like I said, you can listen to it and think, well, that's not, it's something, but it's, I don't know that it's life-changing. You know, we got an example of that in the Bible in Acts chapter 2. Turn over there, if you will. This is why church service and assembly together is so essential, because we need to hear preaching. Not only do we need to hear preaching, when a message is preached in a service at that time in a unique place, it is unique to that place. In Acts chapter 2, we get Peter's famous message here in Acts 2:14 through all the way down to verse 36. There's no more scriptural message probably ever been preached than this message in Acts chapter 2, verse 4 through 14 through 36. And when I've read this message, who knows how many times, this sermon and all that he preached, but I've never had the response they had in verse 37 when he was done. When they heard this, they were pricked in heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, man and brethren, what shall we do? They were so moved, they said, what shall we do? And even this message, and again, I'm taking away, I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, but I'm saying it was unique to that moment when Peter preached it. And unique to the people who were there at that moment when they heard it, that created this response that they had in verse 37. They said, what shall we do? How shall we respond? There's nothing again wrong with the message. It's simply that God brought all the elements we mentioned together with those people on that day at that moment, and God moved in a great way. You know, you can listen to preaching online, and you can listen to sermons online, but it is never a replacement for how God works in a church service, where we're listening alongside other people who came for that very purpose. Amen. To listen. On that day, at that moment, in that service, with the condition of your heart at that time, online's no replacement for being physically present in a revival service. Man, how do you replace being physically present in a revival service when God speaks to your heart? Or in a missions conference when God speaks to your heart? You can't replace that with online services. That's the reason why we encourage you, man, when the calendar comes out, get it on your calendar, because you can go visit friends or some other thing and you can listen to the services online and get caught up, but it is not the same.
Right.
It's not the same as being there at that moment when it's preached. And I don't want to sound all, I don't want to sound contemporary here, but to feel, for the lack of a better word, to feel what it's like in that service as God speaks to our hearts. You don't get that online. You only get that when you're in a church. That's why we stress being here for special meetings and not listening somewhere else, because it's unique for that moment, at that time, that God speaks to our hearts. So church is essential to healthy spiritual life because we need preaching. And it's also essential to be physically present in church when preaching takes place, because preaching is always unique to that moment in that service and that time in my life. And God speaks to us at no other time like he does when we're present. Thirdly, y'all still with me?
Amen.
Thirdly, church services are essential to a healthy spiritual life because of corporate conviction. Because of corporate conviction. In Acts chapter 2, where we just read a moment ago, look back in verse 37 again. After listening to this message that Peter preached, notice what it says in verse 37. Not one, but they. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked. And they said, what should we do? And we see this corporate conviction. They were convicted of their heart as a group, individually certainly, but as a part of a group. You know, God can convict us anywhere at any time. God convicts me all the time of stuff, especially when I'm driving, anywhere, anytime. It's not my fault. If one of those other people on the road, I wouldn't be in trouble. But God can convict us anywhere at any time. We can listen to a message online and be convicted. You know, we can listen to a sermon, you know, that somebody gives us and be convicted. I've been convicted about things I've read. I've been convicted. But there's no place that conviction comes upon the heart of God's people like being physically present in a church service. That's where the bulk of our conviction comes from, isn't it? You know, God can convict us anywhere at any time, but there's a powerful connection. There's a powerful connection between conviction and the working of the Holy Spirit while sitting among other of God's people who have come to listen as well. Amen. There's a strong connection between all of that. I've been convicted in different ways, but I've never been convicted like I have been in the house of God over the years. When we sit together, when we're sitting with a group of people who came for the same purpose to hear preaching, and the Word of God begins to work among God's people and convict us, there's no way to replace that corporate conviction, that sense of conviction that we get just from being around other God's people. There's a sense when I'm sitting among God's people and I hear preaching, there's a greater sense of I should do something. That I don't get when I'm sitting at home or listening online. I don't get that great sense of I should do something. Does that make sense? Then when I'm sitting with other of God's people who have come for the same purpose, there's a greater sense of need when we're among others. There's a greater sense of responsibility among others. There's a greater sense of thinking to ourselves, what shall we do? What shall I do when I'm sitting among other of God's people who have come for the same purpose of listening, because God moves among His people. Come on, Revelation tells us God walks among His churches and God moves among His people. And the Spirit of God works in His church. Why should it be surprising to us that there's a greater sense of corporate conviction when we listen in church service, when we listen to preaching in church service? God spoke to me a lot of places. I'm just saying there's no place that God's convicted me and spoken to me like He has in church services throughout the years of my life, where God moves among us. It's in church services that I've thought so many times, I should do more. It's in church services that I've thought, God wants me to do this. It's in church services. I worry about people who get all their leadership of God in their own Bible study and in their own time. God can speak to us anywhere. Amen? But God's plan is for us to find His will in His house and through the working of His Word. And there's a great sense of corporate conviction. I'm just saying, God's never convicted me anywhere like He has sitting in a revival service or in a missions conference, sitting around other God. And there's just this sense of being around other of God's people that I should be better, that I need to do better, that I need to do more, that I need to be responsible for my saved life. Come on, amen? That I need to serve. We need that sense of corporate conviction, that corporate conviction that comes that leads us to this idea of what shall we do? No place in my life like in church have I listened to preaching and said, what shall I do, like I have in church. In revivals and mission conferences and Sunday school classes and other places. It's essential to a healthy spiritual life because we need that sense. This is why I have no doubt that most of us would say the majority of the times in our saved life that God has spoken to us about something, a need to change, conviction, His will, it's been in connection with the church service. That's true. When I got saved, it was in connection with the church service. And the times of my life, some of the most important times of my life that God has spoken to me, it's been in connection with the church service, in connection with being around other of God's people. One of the reasons why I think that's so, one of the reasons why I believe it's so, is because we can do something in church service that you can't do online. And that is, we can give an invitation. An invitation. A time when we are purposely called on to decide what we are going to do with what we have heard. A time when I'm made to face what I've heard. When I'm made to deal with what God has spoken to me about. When I'm made to deal with it. When I'm challenged to make a commitment. No, when I'm challenged to make a commitment right now. You've heard God's word. You've heard the preaching. God has spoken to you. What are you going to do right now with what you have heard? You can't do that online. We can do something that you can't do online. We can have an invitation where we encourage people or put people on the spot of responding right now, where we're challenged to confess and get right with God right now. Not later, not later on, not to ponder it, but right now. What are you going to do before you leave this building with what you have heard? That's corporate conviction. It's just, you know, this thing of invitation and corporate conviction is just one more way why so many churches, they have made themselves non-essential. Because they've done away with the invitation. Because we don't want to make people feel bad. We don't want to put people on the spot. We don't want to pressure people. You know, we don't want people to feel bad about themselves. So it's a private thing. We don't want to give an invitation. And it's just another reason why we've made church services utterly non-essential. What is essential about getting together and preaching and then not challenging people to do anything? One of the things that makes church service essential and essential to a healthy spiritual life is to hear preaching, be convicted by God, and then be challenged with what we're going to do before we leave this building. It's that idea of corporate conviction that makes it so absolutely essential to a healthy spiritual life. You know, I'm so thankful that in my saved life, I'm so thankful for churches that challenged me. I'm so thankful for preachers who preached. And I'm so thankful the times I was convicted. And I am so thankful for the fact they never let me leave the building until they gave me an opportunity to do something with what I'd heard. And challenged me to do something with what I heard. Because there would have been so many times in my life, it would have been very easy just to got up and said, well, church is over. Guess we can go down to the coffee bar and hang out for a while. No, I'm thankful for all the times I was challenged. You're not leaving this building until you tell God yes or no. Until you make a decision about what you're going to do with what you've heard. That's corporate conviction. That's why church is so essential. I need that in my life. I know you all are probably so spiritual, you don't, but I need that in my life. I need that accountability. And fourthly, quickly, these are quicker. Fourthly, church service is essential to a healthy spiritual life because it promotes corporate discipleship. Amen. Promotes corporate discipleship. Acts chapter 6, quickly turn there if you will. Acts 6 and verse 1 says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose this murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. Here, of course, is where they pointed these men of honest report in verse 3 so that they could give themselves continually to the word. And we see this church coming together here in great unity. In verse 6, and it said, they set them before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. Notice the response of all of this on this church when this happened, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith as well. Of course, Stephen comes out of this, and we see this church growing together. We see this idea of corporate discipleship. Now, I know this morning, I know that at this point in your saved life that we are all, I understand tonight that we are all advanced theologians in the faith at this point in our life. And I realize tonight that we've all grown to the spiritual height that we are now at and that we're much different than we used to be. But you know, I can say this, and you can too, that when I got saved, had it been up to me to have to learn on my own everything that I have learned, I would never have made it to where I am. I needed church, corporate discipleship. You know what Bible college is? Bible college is when you pay somebody to make you learn what you could learn on your own, but never will. Church is much cheaper than Bible college. The truth is, everything we learn here, you can learn on your own. But we won't. Oh, come on, fess up. That's right. We won't. Now, some of us study, we should study, and there's not, we can learn some of our own. But if I were dependent upon everything I learned on my own over the years, I wouldn't be anywhere near where I am, what little I am. Because it's been through corporate discipleship. It's been through discipleship classes and sitting and preaching and Sunday school classes and ABC classes and all the things that I've learned in church that has got me to where I am. Because the great thing that makes church essential to a safe, to a healthy spiritual life is corporate discipleship, learning together. How about this? The accountability of learning together. Because when you don't show up for class, people notice. When you don't show up to learn, people notice. It's why church is so essential. It's that corporate discipleship, that ability to learn together. There's just something essential in having others learn to learn alongside. There's just something essential about having others to grow alongside. Amen? To grow alongside other people and learn alongside other people. If nothing else, is that there's accountability if we don't show up. Church can also provide a place to use everything we learn. To learn corporately and grow in what we learn and use what we learn. The other thing that's great about corporate discipleship is it will keep you from becoming a spiritual wackadoodle in your life. Because where all these internet sites come from and all these people out there who've seen stuff that nobody's seen in 2,000 years of Christianity are these people who have seen things, you know, that God has revealed to them that's been lost to Christianity for hundreds of years. You know where they get that from? From being on their own. You want to know why we need corporate discipleship? So we can balance each other. So somebody can tell us, that's dumb. I don't know where you're getting that from that verse, but that's dumb. Right? That's not what that verse says. That's not right. Well, God showed it to me. I don't care what God showed you. The Bible says this. We need that to keep us balanced in our spiritual life. I've seen preachers over the years who are way out in far-flung places, and they don't have any fellowship with anybody, and they're all out there by themselves, and they come up with all these weird ideas and strange things in the Scriptures and strange doctrines. It's because God designed us to learn corporately among other of God's people to balance us out. You don't want to be a wackadoodle. So be among God's people. I don't even know what that means, but it can't be good. I know what it means. It means crazy. But we don't want to be that. We need to balance one another and to learn corporately and together. That's why God designed the church. It's essential to a healthy spiritual life. And then fifthly, almost done. Church service is essential to a healthy spiritual life because it's in connection to the church that God calls men to preach. And that God calls people to service. In Acts chapter 13, of course, we see that great example in Acts 13, where it says, now there were in the church that which is at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon and Niger, and they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. God calls men through His church. I've said it countless times. There are no independent operators in God's service. God calls people through His church. God identifies for people their gifts in church. It's through church that people begin to understand they're a teacher or they're a preacher, or God begins to move upon our heart about areas of service in which He wants us to serve. It's through the church that God does it. God's called missionaries and preachers. Not just that, but it's in the assembling together that we get a chance to, as I said, use what we've learned and to grow as teachers, not only to become the student, but then to become the teacher. And to grow in those things. It's through the assembling of yourselves together. And then lastly, church service is essential to a healthy spiritual life because it's here that we receive encouragement from others. I don't think we need to turn there, but in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, where they gladly received His word and were baptized, and the same day they were adding to about 3,000 souls. And it goes on and talks about how they broke bread together and went from house to house and fellowship with one another. It's in the house of God we get encouragement. There's not much encouraging about sitting at home watching service online. I was telling my wife this afternoon, I said, you can tell we've been out of church for a while because usually on Sunday morning the place clears out like that because everybody's headed home for dinner. Try to beat the Methodists to the chicken place. So they're gone like that quick. This morning there were people still hanging around when I left. They were still, I guess they eventually went home, but they were still hanging around when I left. I told her, I said, you can tell people, it's like people. There's been nobody to talk to for the last 6 to 8 weeks. But that's encouraging to us. And we need the house of God. We need that encouragement, do we not? Encouragement is essential to the healthy spiritual life growth. And we get the right kind in this house from people of like faith and like practice. There are saved people that I know in my life that in some ways are encouraging to me, that I'm thankful for. but they're not an encouragement to me like when you're plugged in. No, not when you attend, when you are plugged into your church. We are not a perpetual visitor, but you are plugged in and a part of the body. There's encouragement that comes from one another. And we only get that in a local church. And that's why it's essential to a healthy spiritual life. Listen, I don't care what the world says. God never did anything non-essential. And church services are absolutely essential to a healthy spiritual walk. You can be saved and not be a part of a church, but you can't be a healthy believer and not be a part of a church. And I know today that that's not popular. That the popular thing is that we don't need churches. I cannot for life understand why churches tell people you don't need church. Like Walmart telling people you don't need anything we sell. It's ridiculous. We need it. And it is essential. It is an essential part of who we are and what we do. We need all six of those things in our life and more if we had time to go over them tonight. Listen, we ought to be thankful. Hopefully, if nothing else, my hope is that through all of this and nothing else, it made us more thankful for one another. It made us more thankful for the preaching of His Word and how God speaks to us in a unique way at church. How we can listen to a sermon online, hear that same sermon in church, and it's different because it's unique. How God moves in our heart in corporate conviction. How God speaks to us when we come to sit alongside other people who come for the same reason. How God can move in our hearts in church. Hopefully we have a greater appreciation for that. You know, tonight, listen, we ought to be thankful for our church. And we're certainly not telling. There are other good churches out there as well, but right now all we're worried about is this one because we're here. We ought to be thankful for our church. We ought to be thankful for what God has done, not through me or any one person, but through our church, how God has spoken to us. You know, some of us could say, I'm not the same person I used to be. And it's because of what God has done, but He's done it through His church. And I just want to thank God for our church. Might be a good time maybe to just nail fashion alternate tonight and say, you know what, we're back. And I realize now how badly I need what God has provided through His church. I understand better now why God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Because I understand now how God works through me, how God works on me through His church. Maybe a good time just to thank the Lord for that. And then also maybe tonight, to pray and ask God to give us His protection so that we don't end up having to fight some battle here over assembling together that they're fighting other places. We're not out of the woods yet. Amen? Let's just pray that God will protect us. Pray for our governor and his interest in protecting churches. And let's just thank God for how God works and moves through His church. It's His church, amen? Why don't you stand if you would.